In our reflection on the sin, we lay the foundations for Christianity. Had there been no sin, including our own sins, our faith tells us God might have, but we would not know for sure whether he would have become man. We know infallibly God became man in order to save us from our sins in the past and protect us from sin in the future. Could God have redeemed the human race without becoming man? An emphatic yes. Yet God became man. Not only that, by becoming man, he could then die on the cross in order to redeem us from our sins. God became man to obtain for us the ongoing grace we need to become more holy because we have sinned. I cannot exaggerate the importance of that premise of our faith. I repeat, God became man in order to redeem us from our sins. But God became man not only to suffer and die on the cross and then leave us. The God-man has not left us. To know that and understand what we believe is to understand Catholic Christianity. First then, the Annunciation. And once more, three levels of reflection. First, the Annunciation. Secondly, the meaning of the Incarnation. And thirdly, the meaning of the Holy Eucharist. The Annunciation, as faith tells us, is where God sent his angel and the Verb is invited. Invited a virgin whose name was Mary. And when he addressed her, he said, "Hail, full of grace." Any other text, any other translation of St. Luke's description is not Catholic. And how big and shiny the body may be, am I clear? It did not say, "Hail, highly favored daughter." No, full of grace. And this is where, as Catholics who want to live their faith more generously than we would absolutely have to save our souls, I cannot tell you how important it is to read the scriptures. I don't hesitate recommending every day I be sure that you meet, pardon me, a good, authentically Catholic text of the Bible. Hail, full of grace. Then the angel told Our Lady that she was to become a mother of the Most High. Knowing that she had dedicated her virginity to God, she never doubted, unlike Zachary, what she did want. An explanation. So the angel reassured him. No problem. You know your relative Elizabeth. Up in years, maybe a child-bearing age. And down to the beginning. She is now in her 6th month. I'm sure maybe smile. Thanks. The same God who worked one miracle in favor of Elizabeth conceiving her son John, the same God will work a miracle for you who remain a virgin. And yet, conceive a son. And Our Lady's words, be it done to me according to your word. How we need this in today's world. And know the prepositional phrase, be it done to me. Oh, how grateful we are to God. What psalms of thanksgiving we can recite in gratitude for God's having done things for me. What the same God also does things to us we don't expect. Maybe we don't want. So what? Whether we like it or not, has nothing to do with it. It's whether God wants it. And the moment Our Lady told the angel, be it done to me according to your word, the God who had been on earth had to be, from the moment he created the world, began. Get that verb, began to be present on earth as man. And then as we'll see before this meditation is over, that's when the Eucharist began, in the womb of Our Lady. Continue reading what I asked you to read. The Catechism from Pope Paul VI, Encyclical, The Mystery of Faith on the Real Presence. How we need to hear this. God must have been on earth before the Incarnation. Otherwise, there would not have been an earth. There would not have been a Mary. And would I have been a Nazareth? As I've said so often, my favorite definition of nothing is where God is absent. God is God, was present, had to be, would have been in the world before and without the Incarnation. Our second reflection, the Incarnation. literally, incarnation means enfleshed. Caro in Latin is flesh. Incarnare, the verb, to enflesh. The incarnation, therefore, is God becoming man. And let's be very clear, what widespread confusion in what was once a strong, clear Catholic faith in the minds of priests, in the minds, sadly, of some bishops. I asked a bishop years ago who gave the imprimatur for the terrible Dutch catechism and published in English. Bishop, whatever possessed you to give the imprimatur for that bad catechism? He said, I never read the manuscript. Clunk. What do we mean by the incarnation? We mean that the infinite eternal God, who existed from all eternity, the best theological definition of God, as far as we can define Him, God is a being who cannot not exist. What's the best definition of a creature? A creature is a being who need not exist. An extra God would not exist. God, the Creator, became a creature without ceasing to be Creator. God remained God, but He assumed. That's the verb the church has used over the centuries. God assumed a human nature. How many natures, therefore, in Christ? Put up your hands. One or two. How many natures in Christ? Next question. Again, your fingers. How many persons in Christ? How many persons in Christ? If you're really sure, put your hand where? Oh, I put on one figure. Christ is one person, a divine person. But a divine person with two natures. A divine nature is God, and a human nature is man. Did Christ ever become a true man? Emphatically, yes. With sin, no. I think I should say this. Living our deeply Protestantized United States. Martin Luther, whom I've read over the years, for 7 years, I was in the faculty of the Lutheran School of Theology here in Hyde Park. Am I in Chicago? Oh, those poor Lutherans, oh, they needed a good Catholic education. And they paid the Jesuits good money to hire this Jesuit to teach the Lutherans Catholic theology. Isn't that wonderful? And they did not all get A's in the course in Catholic theology. told them and share with you. Martin Luther. There are two Martin Luthers. The Luther known popularly and the real Luther. The real Luther never believed that Christ assumed an absolutely sinless human nature. At least six volumes of Martin Luther's manuscripts will never be published in any language because the real Luther did not believe in the real Christ. We believe the incarnation does indeed mean that God became true man, but absolutely sinless. Now that needs to be underlined. In other words, sin does not belong to the essence of human nature. Why did God become man? To teach us that with His grace, like Him, we become more sinless, or less and less sinful. God became man to teach us how we, though sinful human beings, conceived in sin, as the psalmist says, in sin has my mother conceived me. Prone to sin, as we said in our last meditation, having sinned, yet God became man to teach us and watch it how we are to become more and more like Him who is God by imitating Him as the God-man. And that is why I strongly recommend that you meditate every single day, maybe as little as 10 or 15 minutes, on some passage in the Gospels, the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. Memorize. Father, please don't say it. I'll say it. Memorize the Gospels. Over the years, one of my favorite ways of spending Lent, besides such mortification as every Catholic is to practice during Lent, memorize the Gospels. It's great. In teaching classes I have, I got to in six Protestant seminaries. Evanston, the Anglican Seminary, the Bethany Theological Seminary. I never had to ask any Protestant student, anybody have a Bible? They always carry the Bible under their arm. If there is one thing that we Catholics need to better know, and I beg to make a resolution as one of the fruits of this retreat, to read the Scriptures, and I don't hesitate to say daily, even for a few minutes, and a good part of the scripture to reach to read each day is, well, what else? The scripture readings for each day in the sacrifice of the Mass. Those of you that are interested, pardon me, sign up. I'll get for you before the end of this Ecclesiastical year a copy, a set of all the biblical readings for every Mass for the whole of next year, starting with the first Sunday of Advent of 97 and closing with the last Sunday before Advent of 98. And we'll keep the charge down to a minimum. Read the scriptures. Over the years in teaching priests, I told them, be specific when you talk to the people. I couldn't be more specific. God became man to teach us how we are to live. And we learn how we are to live by reflecting on, otherwise known as meditating, on Christ's human life on earth. Was Christ truly human? Did he get tired? He sure did. Over the years, I've given lectures, whole courses in mysticism. I've never had a single ecstasy in my life. But I know what it means to get tired. And I'm so happy to know. Remember that Christ had to be shaken. He was so dead tired. Remember? Master, wake up. We are sinking, remember? That's following Christ. Getting exhausted in his service. However, that's part two. Now part three of this meditation. The Holy Eucharist. God became man, as we've said, not only to be able to die as man on Calvary, and by shedding his blood, redeem us from what would have been an eternal separation from the vision of God. God became man, as we've been saying, to teach us how we as pathetically human beings are to live in this valley of tears. God, when he became man, was conceived. Like the rest of us, was carried in his mother's womb for 9 months. Like us, he was born. Like us, he grew up. Once become man, God, this is God, spoke like a man, ate and drank like a man, worked, slept, but packed his virtues. That's to be clear. Christ practiced those human virtues which we as human beings need to follow his example. I I think I'll ask, pardon me for raising your hands, how many of you people have a copy of The Imitation of Christ in your homes? How many? As I've told you, over the years I don't hesitate making resolutions for the retreatants. I'm hereby making a resolution. Get a copy of a Kempis's Imitation of Christ. If you don't have the money to pay for it, or enlighten me, should I say it? Send me the bill. I'll ask my Jesuit superiors to cover the cost. How we need to reflect on how God shall use the verb behaved on earth as man. Talk about humility. One of my favorite synonyms for the incarnation is the humiliation of God. God could not have become a lesser creature than he did. A human Jesus Christ. God became man to practice especially the virtue of charity. When he taught us, especially the Gospel of Luke, the disciple of St. Paul, he has more statements of Christ telling us to love those who don't love us, is it Luke, than all the rest of the New Testament put together. That's charity. Loving unlovable people. I've checked it out. There are dictionaries now in the English language that no longer include the word unlovable. It's not good psychology. And yet this is our faith. It doesn't mean that what we call unlovable people do not actually love us. Some people just do not know how to show their love. Having been on the stage for 6 years before entering the Society of Jesus, how many times I had to play the part of an unlovable person. Being Scrooge. Some people don't have the facial muscles. Some people should be the book on how to be cheerful. Became man to teach us how to love those who, at least as far as we can tell, do not love us. God became man to teach us how and how much we should pray. Did Christ have to pray? To say that would be a Nestorian heresy. Did Christ pray? He sure did. To teach us how to pray. And he gave us the Lord's Prayer, remember, when the disciples asked him, Master, teach us to pray. And they answered, when you pray, you say, and then the Lord's Prayer. If there is one strong, the strongest single recommendation I can make in this retreat, in the name of God, pray. Pray more fervently, more deeply than you are praying now. Otherwise, I am wasting your time in this retreat. Well, the third part of our reflection in his meditation is on the Holy Eucharist, which will come up more than once during these 2 short days of the retreat. God became man in order to remain on earth as the God-man. That's what makes a Catholic who believes that Jesus Christ, the same Jesus who was conceived in Mary's womb at Nazareth, born of her at Bethlehem, walked the streets of Palestine, who was nailed to the cross, who rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, the same identical Jesus who ascended into heaven on Ascension Thursday, never left us. He is on earth. Whatever else you do, in the name of our Lord, until he calls you into eternity, deepen your understanding of and devotion to Jesus Christ here on earth in the Holy Eucharist. Yesterday afternoon, as I came from New Mexico here to Chicago, had a couple waiting for me. We talked. The husband has written a manuscript, which is asking me to help him get published. About 50 pages, double space. A successful businessman. And the whole manuscript is, you'd never guess. The whole manuscript is on the need for Catholics recovering their faith in Christ's real presence on earth in the Holy Eucharist. He says correctly, the Catholic Church is going through the gravest crisis of our 2,000 years of history. Amen. And the basis of that crisis, its foundation, is a growing, widely spreading loss of faith in the real presence. Once more, amen. And the future of the Catholic Church in any country, including ours, depends on professed Catholics recovering where they've lost it, strengthening where it's weak, their faith in the Son of Mary, who is the Son of God, become man, living among us in the Blessed Sacrament. Once more, a resounding amen. You don't remove leaders from one's Catholic churches. You don't remove tabernacles, either completely out of the church or out of sight. You don't tell people not to kneel, even during the consecration, without a reason. What's the reason? As I told you, under direct orders of the present Holy Father, in the name of God, he told me, restore faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Otherwise, said Pope John Paul II, I fear for the survival of one diocese after another in America. Why? Why did God become man? He became man, as we've been saying, during his mortal life on earth, to teach us how we are to live. Believing in Christ is not enough. We must behave like Christ. That's why he became man. To be scoffed at. To be spat at. To be crowned with thorns. To embrace the cross from which, as human beings, we spontaneously run away from. But God became man to remain on earth, to offer himself, the same Jesus Christ, now immortal, in the sacrifice of the Mass, to provide us. What? Humanly inconceivable language. So inconceivable, remember, as the 6th chapter of John's Gospel tells us, and Christ told the people listening to him, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. So not only many of the listeners, but many of his own disciples walked away. This is too much. Where God also became man to remain among us on earth and provide us with a constant source of his grace, the same identical Jesus Christ is here. And don't tell me Chicago does not need Jesus Christ. I gave a lecture in Louisville 2 weeks ago on the Eucharist, the miracle worker. Once we believe if it is the same Jesus who not only healed paralytics, restored sight to the blind, raised a dead, and as his sister Martha said, a stinking Lazarus from the grave. That same Jesus, the same identical miracle worker is on earth. Do we ever need miracles in our day? I sure need them in my life. And I can safely say, you need them in your lives. And in plain Anglo-Saxon, it works. All we need, what we need it, is to believe. One of the most astounding statements in the Gospel. Here's where the Imagines tells us there were places in Palestine where Jesus could not, what a verb, could not work miracles. Is this God or isn't it? Of course it's God. God become man. But Christ could not work miracles where the people's faith was either absent or too weak. I'll make sure during these 2 days I'm going to make not just recommendations, but, as I've been saying, pardon me, give you resolutions. Tell you what to do. Tell you what to do. Cultivate your faith in Christ's real presence. And decide, as one of the fruits of this retreat, if you're not doing it yet, spend some time, shall I say it, I will, spend some time every day, before the Blessed Sacrament.
Spirit, and now confessions.